This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we get you ready for Week 17 Sunday action in the NFL. We'll recap the two games that we had here on Saturday and the impact that it has on these games coming up for Sunday, because there is direct correlations to teams that are maybe playing for nothing and teams that are playing for something. Well, something could be on the line in one of these games coming up here on Sunday, and that is potentially the number one overall draft pick as the New York Giants take on the Las Vegas Raiders. And we have seen a lot of spread movement on this game with some drama, some would say, surrounding the Raiders, as Max Crosby will be shut down for the final 2 weeks of the season, in addition to the news that came out earlier this week with Brock Bowers being placed on IR, being shut down for the final two games of the regular season. Joining us now to talk about this game and some more is Vinny Bonsignor, who covers the Raiders there for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also host of the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny, thanks so much for joining us here on Cashing Out. And let me just start with this. I can't stand the tanking conversation, because I have a lot of respect for these players. You have talked to these players a lot. You've worked with these players. Players don't tank. The idea that a team is trying to lose, people need to get that idea out of their minds, Vinny.
Yeah, when it comes definitely to the coaches and the players that are out there in the locker room and on the field, there's no doubt that they're, you know, first of all, this is a violent, violent sport. We saw some major injuries, or at least one major injury tonight. A couple of them, really. One major and some other banged up players in the Green Bay Packers game against the Baltimore Ravens. If you let up just a little bit in this sport, you're liable to be taken off the field, in a stretcher. And that's just the reality of the situation. So nobody's not giving 100% when you're on the field. However, I will say, at this point in the season, if you're the Raiders or you're the New York Giants or the Kansas City Chiefs, and you have nothing to play for, it has to be about managing your future assets, and doing that well. And I think the Raiders actually did a very prudent and smart thing by sitting Brock Bowers down. And Max Crosby, obviously. Those are the two biggest assets that this Raiders team has. They cannot afford for either one of those players to jeopardize anything about next season. And if it also ends up enhancing maybe or giving them a better chance not to win tomorrow or next week against Kansas City, all the better. I think that's what good, smart teams do. Nobody's going to blatantly try to lose games. And like, as you mentioned, and rightfully so, nobody on the football field cares one iota about the draft pick. But as an organization, I think it's something that you have to be aware of, because that's the easiest, the clearest path for the Raiders or the Giants or anybody else to escape where they are right now and improve where they are right now. It's through talent acquisitions. And if you can get that first pick overall, that becomes a major, major asset, whether you're the Giants and you can use it to trade down and gather other draft picks, or the Raiders to examine who might be the best quarterback in this draft and finally land your quarterback of the future. It's what prudent organizations do. Now, teams themselves, the football players themselves, they don't want anything to do with that and don't care about it, quite honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned, the organization might not put the team in the best position to succeed, but the coaches and the players are going out there and they're trying to win the football games. And I'm glad you brought up the idea of protecting assets, meaning protecting Bowers and protecting Crosby, not about protecting your chance at the number one overall pick. If it happens, it happens. But the idea is you want these guys to get surgery ASAP, because you want them back for week one of the next season. You want them to rehab now. You don't want them to play an extra 2 weeks and then suffer maybe even more damage and then hurt their ability to start next season. So the assets that the Raiders are trying to protect are those two players more so than the number one overall pick.
Without question. But as you said,
if it happens,
there are people in the organization, and there's scouts and personnel people who would love to have their hands on the number one pick. It's vitally important. And the Raiders, quite honestly, have been down this road before, where they won a couple of meaningless games down the stretch and took themselves right out of the quarterback business, mm-hmm. and set the organization back as a result. I mean, I you know, you just it's like you said, you don't blatantly try to do it, but you know, there's nobody that's going to be unhappy if the Raiders lose the next two games in that organization at all.
Yeah, remember there was that game where the Jets at the end of the season won to get them out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes a couple of years ago. So you want to talk about setting a franchise back, that was a perfect example.
And how many coaches was that ago?
Yeah, that was quite a few coaches ago. Quite a few coaches and quite a few quarterbacks.
Exactly.
But what about for this team? Like, does Pete Carroll expect to be back next year as the head coach?
I would imagine that. I think he's hopeful that he's going to be back. Whether or not he is, I would say that there's going to be changes with the Raiders this year, and probably some major changes. And even if he does come back, there's going to be, I would imagine, changes on his staff. That's probably going to be a stipulation if he does come back, that there's going to be some changes, on the staff, whether it's on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball. But I would not be shocked whatsoever if it was one and done for Pete Carroll. And I say that not because he's forgotten how to coach or he isn't capable of coaching this football team. But when you start this, especially if you get the number one pick overall or the number two pick overall, and there's a quarterback involved, ideally what you want to do is align yourself up, with that young quarterback with a coach, maybe an offensive-minded coach or a really good leader type who could bring in a really good offensive coordinator to really help this quarterback grow. And I say that because, when I say that number one pick, if the Raiders get it, would literally be the most important asset that this organization has had in probably 30 years or so. And you have to maximize it. That's just the bottom line. Whether it's trading, if you figure out that, we don't like Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza at the top of the draft, we'd rather trade down, get a bunch of other draft picks, maybe go back into the quarterback market next year. If you want to use it that way, or you want to use it, ideally, if you fall in love with Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore or both, and be okay with either one of those guys. But it also becomes a real asset, almost like a magnet, to expand your coaching search if you go down that road. You think about who the Raiders lost out on last year, Ben Johnson. Make no mistake, that was their number one target, was Ben Johnson for the Detroit Lions. And they had to, if people only understood the length that they had to go just to get Ben Johnson to sit down for an interview. And that was all Tom Brady, basically, that made that happen, because he wanted nothing to do with the Raiders, not because he doesn't like the Raiders or Mark Davis or anything like that. They didn't have a quarterback in place. And that's ultimately why he chose the Chicago Bears. If you look at Cliff Kingsbury a couple of years ago, who was close to becoming the offensive coordinator, for the Raiders, and all of a sudden the Washington Commanders, who had the second pick overall that year, guy by the name of Jaden Daniels, he's like, why would I go to the Raiders, who have no quarterback, when I could go maybe reestablish myself with a quarterback? So it goes hand in hand, and that's why that asset will be so important for the Raiders, because if they do decide to move on from Pete Carroll, you have that number one pick and a chance to draft a Fernando Mendoza or a Dante Moore. All of a sudden, a lot of coaches that otherwise wouldn't be interested in the Raiders will definitely be interested in the Raiders.
That is another tremendous point. Talking to Vinny Bonsignor, covering the Raiders there for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also host of the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. Last week, I thought the offense looked good. I thought Geno Smith played well. Certainly, Ashton Jeanty had one of his better games of the season. Going up against a Giants defense that can certainly be beat on the ground, what do we expect to see from the Raiders offense tomorrow?
Yeah, so interesting, because when watching the Houston Texans today as opposed to last week, I just felt, even during that game, it almost felt like the Texans were kind of overlooking the Raiders. So, credit to the Raiders. Definitely Ashton Jeanty, he's a star in the making. And I think the offensive line played better. But I just felt like Houston just wasn't all there. And when a 2-12 team comes strolling into the stadium, it's human nature sometimes to overlook that. If the Texans team that played the Chargers today played the Raiders, I think it would have been not even nearly as close. Having said that, the Raiders may have found something a little bit offensively, but I can't read too much into what happened last week. This team has been very consistent in how bad they've been. I think that was maybe a one-off, and they've lost big game, or just by big margins, or and been embarrassed by bad teams. So I think people are reading a lot into what happened against Houston and just assuming, oh, wow, now they may have a really good chance to beat the Giants, which maybe they do because the Giants are really bad. But I would expect, especially now without Bowers, especially now without Max Crosby, they're gonna have a struggle to move the ball, A, and to stop people, B.
Yeah, and well, the Giants also have struggled. I mean, Jackson Dart hasn't exactly played great over the past couple of weeks, and some made the point that maybe the Giants should have shut him down to protect him from himself because of how much he runs the football and how much he looks for contact as opposed to sliding and avoiding contact. Both of these teams certainly in very interesting situations. Final thing, we got a minute left here, Vinny. You look around the landscape of the NFL. Is there a team outside of, let's say, the Los Angeles Rams, because I think we can agree they're the most complete team in the NFL. Is there a team that you trust right now outside of the Rams?
Trust. That's a great question. Probably not. I keep saying that it's got to be the Buffalo Bills this year in the AFC. Like, if not now, when?
Yep.
With the Kansas City Chiefs no longer in the picture and their kryptonite no longer in their way. I'm really curious tomorrow night to see how the Chicago Bears respond to that challenge, going up to San Francisco to play the 49ers. I can't sit here and say that I have a lot of trust in them either. We saw the Green Bay Packers today. It's kind of, granted it was their backup quarterback, but they didn't play a great game at all defensively. So no, the answer is no. The short answer, no. Now that I really think about it, I don't even know if I trust the Rams, to be honest with you.
What a season. What a season. Vinny, appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk again soon.
All right, man. Have a great show.
There he is. Vinny Bonsignore there covering the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real. Mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So, let's talk about the results here on Saturday in the NFL and how it is impacting the spreads coming up here for games on Sunday. My thanks, by the way, to Vinny Bonsignore, who joined us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal to talk about a game that's coming up here tomorrow between the Raiders and the Giants, which is the toilet bowl, some would say, the right for the number one overall pick. It's here. If both of these teams are in position to lose and possibly get the number one overall pick. There's no tanking, guys. Organizations might not put teams in the best position to succeed, and that could be what the Raiders have done here. Some would say that's exactly what the Raiders have done here. Earlier in the week, putting Brock Bowers on IR, so your best offensive weapon outside of Ashton Jeanthi, he is now done for the season, and your best defensive player, Max Crosby, being shut down for the rest of the year. Jay Glazer had that report from Fox Sports earlier in the week, or actually on Friday, that Max Crosby was so upset with what had happened that he stormed out of the facility. He left the building because he did not want to get shut down. He wanted to play. And that's the thing. Players want to play. Players want to play. But this is not about tanking and losing this game against the New York Giants. This is about protecting their assets for next season. By Max Crosby, who needs surgery, by the way, by him being shut down now, he can start his rehab. He can have his surgery, start his rehab, and be ready for week one next season. Same thing for Brock Bowers. Get ready for the start of next season. Because the worst thing that you can have happen for an organization that has nothing to play for in weeks 17 and 18 is suffer a devastating injury to one of your key players that keeps them out longer for the start of next season? You think the Raiders want to go into week 3 or 4 next season and still not have Max Crosby? Or, you know, heaven forbid he suffers an even worse injury and he's out maybe all of next year. No. Shut him down now. Get him ready for the start of next season. And oh, by the way, you're also protecting him as an asset in the trade market. Because a healthier Max Crosby in the offseason, one that did not suffer a setback in week 17 or 18 of the regular season, is a tradable commodity. Whereas if Crosby gets hurt even further in week 17 or 18, and now he's rehabbing from injury, he's hurt, he has a setback, you think a team is going to go out there and try and acquire him? So they're protecting their assets. This is it. To me, I almost want to tease the Raiders up, because who are the New York Giants to beat anybody by 8 points? The Giants stink. They should lose this game too. They have a bunch of players that are on IR and they're missing. They stink. Raiders from 2 to 8 feels like a teaser spot to me. 2.5 here at Circa, from 2.5 to 8.5. The Giants winning by 9? Giants have 2 wins this year. 2. We'll talk more about that game coming up here in a few more minutes. Let's talk about the games here on Saturday and their impact for the games on Sunday, because we have had now movement in the market and we are watching the movement as we speak. The Baltimore Ravens defeated the Green Bay Packers 41-24, monster game from Derrick Henry. 36 carries, 216 yards, 4 touchdowns, single-handedly probably winning people their fantasy football championships. Great performance for Derrick Henry. And if you had the ticket on the touchdown ladder, congratulations. I mean, my goodness. It truly felt, watching Derrick Henry and as somebody who had Keaton Mitchell over 27.5 yards and Keaton Mitchell over 7.5 carries live at the half, I'm sitting here going, can we get this guy a carry? Now, we did cash that. Keaton Mitchell finished with 9 carries for 31 yards. But I'm sitting here going, hey, what, can we get this guy a carry? Derrick Henry, give him a rest. But it was obvious. John Harbaugh took the criticism last week to heart. For everybody that was, all the media members that were pressing him after the game, all the comments on social media, all the articles written about him in the local papers and online about how they are not using Derrick Henry, even though Henry's got some game logs where he's been used, but last week in a crucial loss that significantly impacted their playoff chances, after Derrick Henry scored his 2nd touchdown of the game, he did not touch the football again. He had 18 carries for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns and did not touch the football again for the majority of the 4th quarter. Why? Well, because they wanted to give Derrick Henry a blow. And so Keaton Mitchell gets that 2nd-to-last drive and they wind up going 6 plays and punting, and then the next drive winds up being a fumble. They lose 28-24. And Harbaugh said, all right, you guys want me to run Derrick Henry every single play? I'm going to run Derrick Henry every single play. And in hindsight, this should have been something that we should have been all over from a prop perspective, because this is truly one that the market did inflate Derrick Henry's props a bit, but maybe not enough considering the situation. With all the criticism for not running Derrick Henry as much as they should have, it should have been obvious that he was going to really exceed his attempts and exceed in a big way as he did. 36 carries for 216 yards. This is the most carries that Derrick Henry has had in a football game since, we're going to go back now, 2023. Whoa, we're going back even further. He had 32 carries on October 30th of 2022. He had 30 carries on January 7th of 2023, 30 for 109. Let's see, 2021, 35 carries on September 19th, 2021, 35 for 182 against the Seahawks, 33 for 157 against the Jets that same year, 2021. 2020, 34 carries, final game of the season against Houston, 34 for 250 and two touchdowns. I think that was a contract incentive game, by the way. Last game of the season, trying to reach some milestones. 34 carries in a playoff game against New England, going back to the 2019 season. This might have been the most carries that Derrick Henry's ever had in a game in his career. Let's go back 33 carries in 2018. Let's go back to 2017. Nope, didn't even sniff that. Let's go back 2016. Nope. 36 carries. This has got to be the most he's had in his career. I just quickly ran through his game logs. So they ran him into the ground, and they won a football game. Now, what this win means is that the Ravens are still alive for the AFC North Division title. However, they need the Steelers to lose to the Cleveland Browns here on Sunday. The Steelers, who with the Ravens winning this game, have now been priced up to a 3.5-point favorite in most books. There's a one, FanDuel's got -4.5, but DraftKings -3.5, Westgate -3.5, Caesars -3.5, MGM -3.5. You could still get a -3 here at Circa. Best line on the Steelers is -3 here at Circa. That's the best line. So, oof, man, maybe just play the money line. -195 here at Circa, -185 at DK. Best line out there. Steelers need the win now. A Steelers win, and they are AFC North champs, and the Week 18 game does not matter against the Baltimore Ravens. And now you're Mike Tomlin, and you're coaching this game. You are already without DK Metcalf, who is suspended for the final two games of the season. TJ Watt is working himself back from his injury. He is not going to play here against the Cleveland Browns. You need to win this game because you do not want to go into Week 18 without DK Metcalf, without TJ Watt, because maybe you're not ready to force him back recovering from that surgery, and you got a Baltimore Ravens team that is hungry now coming off this win that's going to have an extra day of rest before they face you. Yeah. I bet the Steelers just before at -3. And if you can't get the -3, maybe it's the money line at -185, -190. Shop around, find the best line you can get. Steelers, max motivated here on Sunday. Want to remind you guys, Fremont Street Experience is always on, but this New Year's Eve, it's turning all the way up. You can ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening on New Year's Eve. You get 6 live concerts on 3 stages featuring Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy. One ticket, one night, just $60. Party starts at 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at VegasExperience.com.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live. Market is steaming. The Pittsburgh Steelers line here against the Cleveland Browns for Sunday in the wake of the Ravens win against the Packers here on Saturday night. So the Steelers now -3.5 pretty much across the board. There still is a -3 here at Circa you can get if you like the Pittsburgh Steelers, or I would recommend do not lay the -3.5. I would get the best money line price if you can here on the Pittsburgh Steelers. -185 is available. -190 is available as opposed to betting the -3.5. But here at Circa, -3, that's the play that you want to make here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have to imagine you're getting a max effort here for Pittsburgh going into Cleveland because they don't want to play Week 18 at a rest disadvantage against a Ravens team that's going to get Lamar Jackson back likely after the week off, and you have to play it without DK Metcalf. Your passing game is already non-existent. Now you take away your best player in DK Metcalf, you would much rather just win an ugly, low-scoring game in the rain and the wind in Cleveland tomorrow than, yes, you'll be home, but to play that home game against the Ravens without DK Metcalf and Lamar Jackson possibly returning after 2 weeks off now to rest up from his injury. So you do not want to get to that situation if you are the Steelers. I think that this is the result that you look for here with the Ravens winning, backing the Steelers to beat the Cleveland Browns. Other games that are impacted here as a result of what happened on Saturday. We talked about this earlier. With the Texans beating the LA Chargers, it now eliminates the Indianapolis Colts from postseason contention. That line is still Jaguars -5.5. I love the Jaguars in this game. I already like them just to begin with at -5.5 because I think the Jags are completely underrated. And yes, there is a history with them losing. They're 3-10 in their last 13 games straight up at Indianapolis. But a lot of those games, they were underdogs and just a worse team than the Indianapolis Colts. They are a better team than the Colts right now. Their offensive line and defensive line are playing great. And Phillip Rivers may not play the whole game here. I know he said the right things. He talked about playing, and it's not fair to Riley Leonard to throw him in just because they're eliminated. But if you're the Colts, why do you have Phillip Rivers playing in this game? The goal for you should be to start to see what you have for next year, to give Riley Leonard real in-game snaps to see if he's going to be a part of your quarterback rotation next season. Phillip Rivers was brought in to win you football games or to give you a better chance to win football games because you're in the postseason hunt. Now that you're eliminated, okay, I get it. He starts the game. Does he finish the game? That is the big question. That's the big question. I do believe that he starts the game, maybe does not finish the game. Now, Benjamin Albright, who we've had on this program, did tweet something out earlier today after that game. He said, Phillip Rivers does have something to play for because with 251 more passing yards, he passes Ben Roethlisberger on the all-time passing yardage list. I've heard this before because I've also heard about, like, you know, other players trying, like, you know, oh, he wants to get beyond, like, Matthew Stafford, right, who he's close with here. But let's be honest. If Phillip Rivers is motivated by passing Ben Roethlisberger to move into sixth place all-time passing yards right now because he feels that that's going to help his legacy, that that's going to help him maybe get into the Hall of Fame 5 years from now, in 5 years from now, this list is going to change. There will be players that will exceed these numbers in 5 years from now. So, okay, maybe that's motivation. I mean, the next highest active player, I mean, Matthew Stafford's still active. He's going to pass Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. Aaron Rodgers is still active. He's going to keep going up higher and higher, right? Joe Flacco, believe it or not, still active. He's 14th all time. Russell Wilson, still active. He's 16th all time. Maybe he climbs up. I mean, he's not going to get that high. But you got to look at the younger players that could maybe step up on this list. Let's see. Who's the youngest player that's within range? I mean, Rivers is sitting here at 63,000, right? Jared Goff's at 40,000. I mean, Jared Goff's got plenty of years left, right? Mahomes is at 36,000. Dak Prescott's at 36,000. These guys have plenty of years left. In the next 5 years, you know, what are we talking about? These guys throw for 4,000 yards a season. We're talking about them getting 20,000 more yards in the next 5 years. So I don't know if that's the reason for Phillip Rivers still playing and it's motivating, but listen, is it one of those things where we're going to start to see people come out and bet Phillip Rivers to go over his passing yardage prop just because he's trying to pass Ben Roethlisberger over the next 2 weeks? I don't think so. Because it's not in the best interest of the Indianapolis Colts organization. It's actually hurtful to the Indianapolis Colts organization to have Rivers start and play. Well, to start is fine because they don't know, right? And I agree. It's unfair to Riley Leonard to not work with the starters all week and then have to start this week. But for Riley Leonard to not play in this game at all and for him to not start week 18, that's an organization that is not making decisions in their best interest. So I don't think we see Rivers for this entire game. I don't think we see Rivers in week 18. Maybe he gets his final swan song here, and it's a farewell to the fans. Thank you very much for letting me do this. Thank you, and good riddance. I love the Jaguars here in this game. I think they win pretty convincingly, to be honest with you. The other game that could be impacted by the results here on Saturday is the Sunday night game between the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers. Currently, right now, the 49ers are 3.5-point favorites, and this line could be steaming with the idea that maybe the Bears have nothing to play for, because the Bears have now clinched the NFC North. But the Bears might still have something to play for here. Maybe it's the number one seed. Let's see how it could play out here using the NFL playoff machine. Let's give the Bears the win here against the 49ers, and we'll give the Seahawks the win in their game against the Panthers. And then in week 18, we will give the 49ers the upset win over the Seahawks, and we'll give the Bears their win in their final game, which is going to be against the Packers, right? So, not the Packers. Bears are against the Lions. The one seed in the NFC is the Chicago Bears. They still have something to play for. So the idea that they have nothing to play for because they clinched the division, that's wrong. I just gave you the numbers here. The Bears win out, and the Seahawks lose to the 49ers in week 18, then they're the one seed. I mean, what does that mean for the Rams? Let's give the Rams two wins. Can they achieve the one seed? No, I don't think so, because the Seahawks would win the division. No. Well, no, the Rams would win the division, but the Rams would... So if the Rams win the next two games, the Bears win the next two games, and the Seahawks win against the Panthers and then lose against the 49ers, Bears are still the number one seed. If the Seahawks lose to the Panthers but beat the 49ers, Bears are the number one seed. If the 49ers, if the Seahawks win in week 18 and win in week 17, then the Seahawks are the number one overall seed. So the Bears still have plenty to play for. So that game, to me, not affected. I like the 49ers in this game just from the onset. Maybe not at 3.5, but at 3, I like the 49ers in this game just because Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the NFL. He has played like the best quarterback in the NFL. Statistically, Brock Purdy has played like the best quarterback in the NFL. This could be a high-scoring game. Both of these teams should be able to run all over the opposition. Defensively, I have concerns for both of them. But yes, they both have something to play for. They are both in position to get the number one overall seed in the NFC. That's what's on the line here on Sunday Night Football. A chance to get the number one seed in the NFC in week number 18. Hey, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win place and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. I'm Scott Sandberg. Coming up next, we'll talk about college bowl games, a little World Junior Hockey action before we get back into NFL week number 17. This is Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott
Zetterberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so from now, we'll get back into the NFL Week 18 conversation, Week 17 conversation. Our very own sports betting professor, Aaron Moore, will join us on the program, get his best player props for Week 17 Sunday. We want to talk about some of the bowl games that we saw earlier here on Saturday, as well as the update on our betting in the World Junior Hockey Championships, which is one of my favorite events to bet on every single season. We had some fun bowl games today. The Pop-Tarts Bowl was very exciting, with BYU coming back from 11 points down to defeat Georgia Tech 25-21. You had Army dominate UConn 41-16, and this is a game that everybody should have been on. And yes, maybe everybody was on it, because the line has moved, significantly to the point where Army went off as an 8.5 to 9 point favorite. Didn't matter. Service academies in bowl games is what you want to back, because unlike other programs and other schools that are just, you know, playing out the strings, trying to figure out what their roster is going to look like for next season, you have teams that care about these games. You have practices that are not empty practices. The players aren't worried about their next NIL deal. No. They work hard, and their mission is ahead of them, which is the game, and they play those games hard. So Army, with a 41-16 win over UConn, covers all numbers. The UConn team total goes under. This was a UConn team that was absolutely decimated by the transfer portal as well. Their head coach gone, coaching staff gone, quarterbacks gone, running backs gone. I mean, I thought they were going to have walk-ons play in these games. But you got to be careful when you're handicapping all of these games, all of these bowl games. Who do you want to back? Who's playing with motivation? Who is trying to go out there and win a football game? We have Navy coming up on January 2nd. 7-point favorites right now against Cincinnati in the Liberty Bowl. Navy's a team that I would like to back in that spot. We love service academies here in bowl games. We'll get more into the college football playoff coming up tomorrow. I'll be on Live Bet Sunday, so we'll do a little bit of the college football playoff as we have New Year's Eve. We have one game coming up on New Year's Eve, which is the Ohio State-Miami game in the Cotton Bowl. And then, of course, we have the three other quarterfinal games coming up on New Year's Day. Oregon-Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl, Alabama-Indiana in the Rose Bowl, and Ole Miss taking on Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I have two futures tickets that I placed before the playoffs started. I have Georgia to win the national championship, and I have Texas Tech to win the national championship. I'm not coming off either of those tickets. And so we'll see how that plays out over the next, over this week, of course, going into next week's games. And like I said, tomorrow coming up on the Live Bet Sunday with yours truly, we'll do a little bit more of a preview here of the college football playoff. It is also a great event to bet on this time of the year, every single year, and that is the World Junior Hockey Championships, the IIHF World Juniors. On your sports book, it might be listed as World Junior Championship. It might be listed as the Under 20 Championship, but there's varying sports books here in town have it, and you can search for it and you can find it. I did retweet a thread from one of our friends over at Covers, Josh Ingles, who posted a thread about where to find the bets. Here in Vegas, I've been playing them on Boomer's Sportsbook. They have the lines, but you can shop around for your book and figure out where you can play the World Junior Championships. Cashed on the first two bets of the tournament that we talked about for yesterday's day one, which was the United States to go over 7.5 goals in their game, in their win. Well, they had a win over Germany. 6-3 was the final score there. And then we also took the over 6.5 goals, which wound up closing at 7 goals in Canada against Czechia, or Czech Republic. And that was a 7-5 Team Canada win. We are on Canada to win the tournament. They are the favorite, the odds-on favorite, to win the tournament. They have the most talented team on paper. And on paper, their games should be blowouts, most of them. One game that I lost here on Saturday was Canada and Latvia. I thought this was going to be a higher-scoring game. First off, you have the team. You had Canada playing on the second of a back-to-back. Same thing with the United States playing on the second of a back-to-back. So you had the backup goaltenders in, but the backup goaltenders weren't the problem, because Canada only allowed one goal. The United States only allowed one goal to Switzerland. The offense was a significant problem. Tired legs, possibly.
Canada had to win in overtime. The United States had to score late to win 2-1. Tired legs, maybe, with these kids playing the first back-to-back of the tournaments. And so how do we learn from this and try and bet moving forward? Well, I think I want to fade the back-to-backs. And I especially want to fade teams playing on the back-to-back that don't have the same type of depth that rosters like the United States and Canada have or the Czech Republic have. Because, I mean, those rosters are loaded with NHL talent, NHL draft picks. So we have two games here on Sunday. And both of these are featuring teams that are playing on the second night of a back-to-back. You have Sweden taking on Switzerland. Right now, Sweden is on, and the money lines are absurd here, so we don't even talk about the money lines. The puck lines is what we talk about. Sweden is -3.5 goals against Switzerland. Total in this one is 6.5. And then Finland, -2.5 goals against Latvia, total of 5.5. Here's what we know. Switzerland played the United States here on Saturday, and they only managed one goal. I was honestly shocked by this performance. I really was. I was shocked by this performance because I felt that this was going to be a runaway victory for the United States. I thought that they were going to just outshoot, outscore. Like, this was going to be a big-time performance for the United States against a Swiss team that in their pre-tournament tune-up games did not score many goals. Switzerland scored two goals in a pre-tournament game against Minnesota State College. And then they played a second tune-up game against Sweden and lost 7-3. But they acquitted themselves really well here against the United States. But this is what I mean by the fatigue factor. Only 20 shots on goal for the United States, 17 shots on goal for Switzerland. Now, I expect that from Switzerland. I did not expect that from the United States. Look at that first game that the U.S. played against Germany. Completely different story in that game. In that game, the United States had 47 shots on goal. I'm sorry. I mean, if there was, it's just, of course, we're literally talking about tired legs affecting the way that these teams play. So, yes, clearly. The United States had 47 shots on goal against Germany in their first game. They had 20 in their second game here against Switzerland. So now I want to fade Switzerland on the second of a back-to-back here, taking on Sweden. Sweden, meanwhile, in their first game of the tournament, a 3-2 win over Slovakia. In Sweden's pre-tournament games to get ready for this event, they lost 2-1 to Team Canada, which was a really good game that they acquitted themselves very nicely in. And then they played Canada again and won 4-2 in the rematch. Then the 7-3 win over Switzerland. I think this puck line is a little too light here. Sweden -3.5 over Switzerland is my play here for this first game coming up on Sunday. And it's a 2 o'clock Eastern time puck drop. Games are being played in Minnesota. The tournament's here on our home soil, as they say. But give me Switzerland -3.5 over Sweden. Excuse me, -3.5 over Switzerland. This feels like it could be a 5-0 game, 5-1 type game. I wouldn't mess around with the total because I don't think Switzerland scores. And then Finland, Latvia. I would lean heavily towards Finland. Latvia has proven, though, that they have a veteran group that has returned a bunch of players that were in the tournament last year, a team that that beat Canada last year and medaled. They have good goaltending, which is why, like, that game really shouldn't have surprised me that it went under. I just thought that we'd have, you know, significantly more goals. Latvia played two tune-up games prior to the tournament beginning, a 3-2 loss to the Czech Republic and a 3-1 loss to Slovakia. And then they lose 2-1 here to Canada. They play a slower, more defensive style of game. Total in this one is at 5.5. It's too low. So as much as I like the under, I'd stay away from it. It could possibly be intrigued by taking +2.5, with Latvia, but I want to fade this team's on the second of a back-to-back. So a stay away from me, no official play. One official play for the World Juniors, though. Sweden, -3.5 against Switzerland. Let's shift gears and get back into the NFL. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our sports betting professor, Aaron Moore, to give us his best player props for week number 17 Sunday in the NFL. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.